Okay. Like I said, rather than start in Daniel this morning, we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 38. And we started in Ezekiel. We've taken a look in 44 that there's two separate invasions during the tribulation period where Russia's kind of beheading up a coalition of other armies, and they're coming together against the Antichrist in a war. And one of them, we started off at verse 40 in Daniel, and it talked about there's invasion from the north and the south, which means north and south of, I have been saying Israel. Nancy has told me, no, that is Jerusalem. It's actually from Jerusalem, not from Israel, I guess, to be proper. So anyway, but it means north and south of Jerusalem. And so we talked about Egypt and Russia, and they have other nations joining them. They're attacking the Antichrist. And then we come down to verse 44. Then there is another invasion takes place with Russia, and then those from the east. And we've taken a look at that. It probably involves nations around Turkey and places like that. And I don't have my map up there. We don't need the map, by the way, today. But anyway, there's two different invasions. And so we're taking a look here in Ezekiel where God prophesies what he's going to do to Russia, you know, in punishment for them. And we started that last week. We're going to continue on this week. Last week we started in Ezekiel 38, and we read the first few verses. We've talked about that. And we left off at verse 16 is where we ended in verse 15. But to kind of get back up to speed again, let's back up and we'll read, I think it's 8. Let me be sure here. I think it's 8 through 16. Well, of course, I can't find it. Yeah, it's 8 through 16. So let's start off by reading that. Like I say, we discussed it. We'll pick it up at verse 16. But we'll begin at 8 and go on. So who would read 8 through 16 for us this morning? Ezekiel 38, I'm sorry. Yeah, and don't be in Daniel 38, because Daniel's... Ezekiel 38, because Daniel's only got 12 chapters, so you're going to have trouble finding Daniel 38. Yeah, Ezekiel 38, and we'll start at verse... We read verse 1 through 7, discussed that last time. We're... So 8 through 16, who'd read that for us? Delbert? No, 8 through 16. Let me stop you right there, Delbert. When it's talking about many people that's they're going to be that's going to come back from the land that's brought back from the sword and gathered out of many people, out of many nations, it's talking about the land of Israel. God's telling Russia, I'm going to visit you, and you're going to go and you're going to attack the people that's been brought out of all the nations, you know, and referring to the Israelites have been brought back into their land. Okay, go ahead, Delbert. Sorry.
Thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a
Okay, thank you, Delbert. You know, and I had mentioned last time that Gog, I'm still struggling. Who is Gog? I'm not sure. In fact, I mentioned last time that Gog is the Antichrist. And yet that just doesn't seem to fit. There's some disagreement on that. And it appears that in one place it talks about Gog, who's the chief prince of Tubal and Tar. Anyway, there's a lot of times it appears that it's like a king of Russia. And he's talking more about Russia, because here he is specifically addressing Russia. And so I'm not sure. And maybe we need to, I've tried to study this too. Who in the world is Gog? You know, who is it? And it is Gog as a person. And it's not a land. It talks about the land of Gomer and the land of all these Meshech and Tubal and all that. But I'm just, scratch that, because I'm not sure if it's talking about the Antichrist or if it's talking about like the king of Russia. A chief leader of Russia, because we're going to see Gog is going to come up in a lot of more studies here we're going to be going through here shortly. But it seems to be referring to this coalition that's coming against Egypt. So take all that with a grain of sand, because I'm not sure that I'm correct on that. Okay, so in other words, God's saying, okay, he's talking to Russia, you know, you're going to come, you're going to have all these, this big alliance of other armies coming with you. You're going to come, you're going to attack Israel. You're going to come to take, you're going to plunder them. You're going to rob them, take a spoil, you know. And you're going to plunder the land for riches. And so that's kind of where we are up here. So we're going to pick it up in verse 16. I'm not going to take any more time backtracking here. And it says, and thou shalt come against my people Israel as a cloud. Okay? God is prophesying you're going to come against the people Israel, the Israelites. And here is an interesting note, side note here. Very interesting. And again, prior to 1948, liberal theologians have scoffed at this prophecy, stating that Russia would have great difficulty in destroying a nation that did not exist. You know, Russia or Israel has not existed as a people, as a nation, for 2,500 years. You know, they're scattered in other places. They're not in their own land. And so how in the world can you attack, you know, a nation that doesn't exist? And this is before 1948. Now, for us, it's easy. We can look back on it, but they didn't see it. And but here is God's prophetical announcement that a great northern confederacy would someday come against the nation of Israel. And how would you explain this, you know, before the time? Since 605 B.C., for 2,500 years, the Jews had not been in their own land, or if they were, it did not belong to them. There might have been a smattering of Jews, you know, in the land, but they were usually poor people, you know, sickly people, whatever. Imagine the confusion in liberal circles when on May the 14th, 1948, the United Nations created a nation, a home for the Jews in the land of Palestine. You know, all of a sudden, here it is. God's prophecy came true. He said it would happen. I mentioned this before. You know, now when it happened, I don't remember it because I was 5.5 years old. But again, this is a major, major, major prophecy that's taken place in some of our lifetimes here. Now, some of you young bucks, you know, you weren't alive then. But some of us old timers were there. And like I said the other time, I said I didn't know I was so busy playing cowboys and Indians back then that I didn't, it missed me. I didn't pick up on it, but. So for the first time in 2,500 years, the Jews are in their own land ruling their own affairs. This prophecy has been fulfilled. God said it would happen, and it did. Okay. Back to Ezekiel 38:16. In Ezekiel 38:16, it says, "It shall be in the latter days." This attack that we're talking about here in Ezekiel 38 and 39, This could not occur until Israel had been restored as a nation. You can't attack them before they've been restored as a nation. Can you imagine, this is one of my own thoughts here, can you imagine a preacher in the 1600s to the early 1900s teaching the book of Daniel and trying to explain these verses? You know, say we're in six, let's go back about 400 years, say we're in the 1600s, and I'm up here teaching this Sunday school class, and I'm teaching that Russia is going to attack Israel. How would you do that? You know, be kind of tough. And you know, basically, about all you could say is say, you know what, God has prophesied that someday they're going to be a nation again. You know, we don't see it happening. We don't understand it. It looks like it's never going to happen. But you know what? God says it's going to happen. And simply based on faith, I believe it's going to happen someday because God said it would. Folks, that's faith. John. Okay.
We don't see how that could happen nowadays. I think it's going to be on horses.
Okay. And you're kind of teaching part of my lesson here between that, you know, this time and possibly next Sunday. So anyway, no, we're coming to that, John. I don't know if you did you guys hear John? Anyway, he said, I'm not so sure that we can't take this literally, that they will be on horses. He didn't say using bows and arrows, but I'll throw that in. Because, you know, it may not be all that far-fetched. There's some that think that way, not all. Okay, good point, John. So, okay. And this prophecy in Ezekiel here, this cannot happen until Israel is at rest, living in unwalled villages at peace, dwelling safely. It can't happen till that. I mean, they got to be living peacefully when this happens. It's obvious that Israel's not dwelling safely today. I think we can all say an amen to that. It cannot happen until the peace covenant of Daniel 9:27 has been signed. That's the peace covenant between the Antichrist and the Jews. So it cannot happen before that's been, and that has not happened yet, folks. We're talking future now.
Did you say Daniel
9:27? Yeah. Yeah, that's just Daniel 9:27. It talks about, you know, that he's going to make this covenant between, you know, himself and Israel. Yeah, Daniel 9:27. Okay, we've covered verse 16. Let's go ahead and read 17 through 23. Ezekiel 38, 17 through 23. And who'd read that for us? Kathy?
My jealousy, and in the fire of my
Okay. And some powerful words, folks. I mean, God's doing this one. So, anyway, in this passage, God is going to judge the northern armies by sending a great shaking in the land. In other words, a great earthquake. He's going to send pestilence, an overflowing rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. All right? We see great earthquake and events that resemble volcanic activity. Russia and her allies are going to be so confused that they're going to be fighting against each other, killing each other. That's in verse 21. When God sends this thing, it says in verse 21, and at the end of the verse, every man's sword shall be against his brother. In other words, these guys are going to start fighting among each other. They're going to be killing each other. God's going to destroy them. Not completely, but almost. And again, it talks about there's going to be hail and there's going to be fire, you know, coming out of heaven. Just a note here, it says, anytime you see fire and ice or hail coming out of heaven, at the same time, you know God is at work. The two don't normally go together, fire and hail. Verse 23, and God says, thus will I magnify myself, they shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, this is the demise of Russia. Now, this sounds a lot like the Battle of Armageddon. Folks, this is not the Battle of Armageddon. It's a different battle. I see some heads going like this. That's good. Okay. So, no, this is not the Battle of Armageddon. This is a separate battle. You know, and one of the things I have really struggled with in going through this, and you're going to see me struggle up here, because there are a lot of different wars, and which one is, you know, which scriptures apply to which verses? And there's some of them I'm not sure. And we're gonna discuss that. And but I've tried. I said, Lord, please give me the answer. You know, I want the answer. I want to tell them what it is. You know, I can't do it. Not at this point. God in his divine sovereignty has chosen not to give me the answer. So, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go ahead and read, begin in verse chapter 39 now. We're reading these two chapters in their entirety. But let's read 39, 1 through 16. So who would read 39, 1 through 16 for us? John?
Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against God, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the northern north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds and every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and I will know, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make thy holy name known in the midst of the people of Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. How far am I supposed to read?
16.
So that there shall take no
Okay, thank you, John. Not a pretty picture. Okay, God's going to destroy him. He's going to destroy him. And it said, part of the verses that John said, he's going to destroy them all but 1/6 of them. So 5/6 of this big coalition, army and everybody like that, are going to die. God's going to destroy them. And with his fire, hail, you know, all those things, he was earthquake, all those things was going to happen. So, and again, I'll repeat, this account in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is not the Battle of Armageddon. It's not. As we will see, the millennium does not directly follow after the events of 38 and 39 as it will after the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 9. And one of the reasons is because in verse 9 it says the Israelites are going to be burning Russia's weapons for 7 years. Now, that kind of fits in with what John just said. You know, they're going to be burning the weapons. How do you burn a rocket? You know, a missile, you know. You know, cyber attack. How do you know? So, yeah, there's some credibility. Anyway, we're getting ahead of myself here. Okay. It's going to take them 7 years to burn all the weapons. And these weapons have got to be made out of burnable material. Verse 10, it says they won't need to cut any firewood, just burn the weapons. For 7 years, they're not going to, you know, cut down any trees. They don't need to. Yes, Risa. Okay, that's to bury the dead. Yeah. 7 months to bury the dead, 7 years to burn the weapons. Yeah. Okay. Now, when I first started reading this, when it talks about having to burn the weapons for 7 years, I thought, okay, that means, you know, the 7 years fits right into the 7 years of tribulation. And I thought, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, this battle here that we're talking about now has got to take place at the beginning of the tribulation, which means it has to happen exactly on the same day that he signs a covenant with Israel, you know. And there's some serious problems with that theory. But anyway, but that's what I was thinking. I've had to change my mind so many times, folks, as I'm going through that. I am learning so much in this. It's exciting for me. Anyway, so yeah, it says, but I thought, you know, if this thing happens in mid-tribulation, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just scratch that. I'm getting ahead of myself. And I love to do that. It's hard for me to keep up. All right. It says the Israelites are going to be burning his weapons for 7 years. So when does this battle take place is the burning question. Yeah, they don't need to cut any firewood. However, there is nothing in this scripture that we read about which says that the weapons can't be burned during the millennium when Christ is reigning. There's nothing that says it can't. Hold that thought. So, okay, verse 12. And then, like Risa was saying, in verse 12 it says, for 7 months the Israelites are going to be burying the dead men and horses, it says in a different place. They're going to be burning all these dead carcasses. I mean, can you imagine 5/6 of the army being destroyed in your land? It's going to be kind of a bad scene. In verse 14, it says men are going to be hired full-time just for the purpose of burying the dead. That's their job. Go around and bury them. How'd you like to have that job? And then in verse 15, it says, if a passerby sees a man's bone, he's going to set up a marker to help alert those who are burying the dead. So if somebody's traveling through and they see a bone of a man or a horse, you know, if something needs to be buried, he's going to put some kind of a marker there, and that helps the guys doing the burying. They can see that marker, and they can run over, and they don't have to sit there and try to find all these guys that are dead, all right? And so it's to alert them, it's burying the dead. The war at the end of the tribulation, as known as Armageddon, is a world war. Revelation tells us that Armageddon will involve all nations. That is a war that involves all nations. It is a world war. The war described in Ezekiel 38 and 39 includes specific nations that invade Israel. Now, it names a bunch, but then it says there are several other nations besides these that haven't been named, but it is not a world war, specific ones. That is a thing that gives us a clue. This is not the Battle of Armageddon. We're going to come to the Battle of Armageddon later. That's coming, folks. Okay, let's go ahead and finish out the chapter. Let's read Ezekiel 39, 17 through 29. And who'd read that for us? I see that hand. Okay, Royce, thank you for volunteering. Okay, these two chapters in Ezekiel kind of make the hair stand up on the back of your head, you know. So I found it exciting, and again, as I'm going through Daniel, I did not even remember or know that these two chapters even existed in the Bible. And it's actually supposed to be a study of Daniel, and here we spent all morning in Ezekiel. And I questioned as to whether I should be spending this much time going through all this stuff, because if I'd stick with the book of Daniel, it wouldn't take near so long to get through it. But I don't, I'm trying to fill in the pieces of the puzzle that go together, and questions I've had, and I'm thinking maybe some of you do too. So anyway, bear with me as I go through this, but I just felt led of the Lord, we need to go take the time to go through these things, and because it's all a part of the future. So, okay, Now, some authors' opinions are that near this time is when Satan is cast out of heaven to the earth. All right? And I remember, I've never forgot, but I brought this thing up about, I don't know, it seemed like about a half a year ago, and I told everybody to look up these verses and find out, you know, and see if you can come up with a time as to when that might happen. And I don't have the chart up here, but I think you guys can remember the that chart that showed, there's a the author that has that chart, but it shows the devil being cast out of heaven. Is there any way that you guys could bring that up? That chart? Are you familiar with how to do that? Okay, no. All right, pastor's heading to it. It might be good to do that. Sorry about that. I got these guys on. I give pastor, I usually give him a last minute notice. Hey, I'd like you to have a certain chart up on the wall, you know. Sorry about that. This is my fault. Let me go ahead and we'll do a little bit of. Let's go ahead. And I do not remember the verses I gave you. I tried to remember. I had a little scratch pad, and I threw the scratch pad. I don't remember the verses. But let's go ahead. There was a debate at that time. When is the devil cast out of heaven? And so, and I have taught in the past that that when Satan fell, he was cast out of heaven at that time. I have taught that. I mean, clear back at the beginning, right after, you know, Adam and Eve's fall. And he was cast out of heaven at that time. I've taught that. All right. Let's go ahead and turn to Job chapter 1. Could you go ahead? Yeah, just forward it till I tell you to stop, Pastor. Keep going. There, stop. All right. On that chart up there, where are we here? Yeah. There's a line there, a red line. It says Satan on the left, and then it goes over. Okay.
Maybe here.
Yeah, there's my pointer. All right. Okay, so here, this particular author that wrote this book, who is Bob Sheldon, his name's up there on the chart. But anyway, he goes and shows, here starts the beginning of the tribulation, and then halfway through, he shows Satan being cast into the lake of fire, or cast into hell, okay? Not the lake of fire, scratch that. But he believes that Satan was cast into, okay, he was cast out of heaven, I should say, to the earth in the mid-tribulation. And that was his take on it. And I thought, well, I've taught otherwise. So, but anyway, let's take a look at these verses here. And let's go ahead and read Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 to start off with. Job chapter 1, and we're gonna see Job and Satan, I mean God and Satan talking. And okay, Job 1, 6 and 7. Who'd read that for us? Gary? Okay.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered, "The Lord said, you have said, I'm going to and fro in the earth, and I'm walking up and down in."
Okay. Now while you're there, flip over and read chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. It's the second time that they appear.
And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down."
Okay. Thank you, Gary. Now, in fact, let me just stop here just for a minute. Does anybody think that you've got the answer? Oh, come on. you got to be braver than that, you guys. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, question. In these talking with Job, does it say that they are in heaven? No. I see heads going like that. No. It does not say, and people say, God is omnipresent. So God could be anywhere. And so all it says is Satan presents himself before God. I mean, they could have been anywhere. They wouldn't have had to have been in heaven. So, and that's a good theory. So at this particular point, we don't know. We don't know. So he just, all they knew, he appeared before God. Now, let's flip over to Revelation chapter 12. These are verses I gave you to look up. I think there might have been a couple others, but I can't recall them, but we don't need them anyway. So I just thought, yeah, Revelation 12. Revelation 12, and we need to read verses 7 through 17. And who would read those for us? Delbert? Okay, I guess I had a, what's that? Yeah, okay. I must have had a misprint there because we didn't need to go near as far as he went. But anyway, but that's what I have written down here. So, I mean, no, that you read the right verses. I just could have had you stop sooner. Okay, in verse 7, it says, it begins, and there was war in heaven. All right. Verse 8, it says, neither was their place found any more in heaven. In verse 12, it says, the devil is cast down to the earth, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Okay. Now, is heaven mentioned in these verses? Yes, it is. Okay. The Bible says the devil is cast out of heaven. Heaven's mentioned here. And so, and again, and I wanted to end with this last thing. The devil, he hits the ground with great wrath because he knows, but he has just a short time. In fact, folks, to be, I guess he's got 1,003.5 years. You know, anyway, because he lives through the millennium and then he gets loosed again. But he's going to be cast into Hades. But it looks to me like, It talks about, it mentions here in Revelation, he is cast out of heaven. There's no more place found for them in heaven. And he has been the accuser of the brethren day and night, which means right now, if that is true, that means the devil is still standing up there in heaven before God, and he's accusing. He's the accuser of the brethren. He is accusing you and me day and night before God. Or maybe not day and night, but the devils can only be one place at a time. He's not omnipresent like God is. But anyway, it looks to me, scripturally, I think it looks to me like this is the time, I mean, that the devil is cast out of heaven mid-tribulation. Now, that's my opinion. I've said it otherwise before. I've taught it different. And I probably make I'm sure I make a bunch of mistakes teaching, and I try not to do that. But anyway, but at this particular point, according to these scriptures, it looks to me like the devil's cast out of heaven. You know, about this time that we're studying here right now, but it's mid-tribulation, because when he hits the ground with his tires squealing, and then that's when we see he's going to turn ugly across the world, and that's the great tribulation. The last half. So, now, does anybody have any questions or comments on it? And you might disagree with me, and that's fine. A lot of other people disagree with me on a lot of things. So, but any questions or comments about that? So, at this particular point, and I guess my mind is always subject to change because I just got changed. But at this particular point, it looks to me like the devil is cast out, you know, during a tribulation time. Okay. We're 2 minutes late. All right. Any questions or comments? They're going to have to be short. About anything we've covered this morning? Okay, let's close the word of prayer. Thank you guys for being here, for being patient. I'm going through some deep waters here. We're going to be going, and anyway, we're going to face it with joy. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this study. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds to see you at work. Lord, to see your wrath against sin and your wrath against people that attack your children of Israel, the Jews. And Lord, help us to always stand beside the Jews, although at the end it says it's a worldwide, all nations worldwide coming against Israel. That includes us, Lord, at that time. But help us, Lord, to be faithful as long as we can. We just pray now that you'll be with Pastor as he brings a message. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak through him to us. And Lord, other ministries going on in our church at this time, I pray, Lord, that you will just honor and have yourself honored and glorified through what we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.